Hi, everyone. Welcome to Do at Midnight. I'm Ava Fatahi.
I'm Josh Silberman.
I'm Kate Burry, and today we're going to be talking about high school academics at Harvard-Westlake. Let's get started. Okay, so my first question to you guys is, when you came into Harvard-Westlake, how did your expectations meet what you know now as the reality?
Okay, so I came into Harvard-Westlake expecting hell. I thought I was going to just, my whole life would just be homework and just like I'd be overworked, and I felt like I was ready for it. My dad had gone to Harvard, which merged with Westlake to become Harvard-Westlake, and he had told me about like how much work there was, so I was preparing for a lot of work. But 7th and 8th grade were very, very light years for me. Like, I maybe had like an hour of homework per night, and like on bad nights it was like 3 hours. But as it's gone, as we've like 11th grade usually it's supposed to be hard, but for us it was online, so it was not like I didn't have much homework. So I definitely expected a much like harder academic experience in regards to like how much effort I'd have to put in. But that still doesn't mean that it wasn't hard. It was definitely a very difficult journey for me. But my expectations did not meet the reality.
I feel like for me, I have a different thing. Like, I came in 9th grade and I came from school that's generally regarded as very difficult on the academics. But for me, honestly, I think that the difference between going from my old school to Harvard-Westlake is that I actually had to try at Harvard-Westlake. As like obnoxious as that sounds, I was used to just like getting away with not doing that much work before I came here. But I was in for a really rude awakening, honestly, when I came here and I realized that I would have so much homework and that I had such hard tests, and it was like really difficult. And I think that 9th grade, like, I don't know. And like people said 7th and 8th grade were generally easier, but 9th was honestly difficult. It was a tough transition, but I think getting to know how you want to study and take notes in class was really important for me, and I think that I eventually eased my way in, and I think that that helped me have a pretty easy sophomore year.
Yeah. I don't know. I think coming into Harvard-Westlake, I expected it to be – I came from, like, a feeder school, so for me it was, like, I was kind of used to the academics, but nonetheless, I mean, Harvard-Westlake is hard. That's not, like, a – understatement. It's like on bad nights I get home, start my homework at 4, and I'm not done till 12. Like, but I also feel like it really depends on how well you manage your time and how well you study, because I mean you can spend like 14 hours studying nothing and like reading papers instead of like doing active work and spend so much time doing useless things. But I think generally Harvard-Westlake definitely met and exceeded my expectations in terms of how hard it would be. But that's not to say that I don't like love the challenge and have grown to like embrace it. Mm-hmm. It was just much harder than I was anticipating.
Hard, but I think I'm glad that I am at Harvard-Westlake, because every single person who went here says college is easier than Harvard-Westlake.
So I've never doubted in it. Never been like, maybe I shouldn't have gone here though.
Yeah, exactly. No. So it's a matter of like, are you willing to put in a lot of work and be challenged in high school for college to be easy, or vice versa? And I think that at the end of the day, I think I'm willing to have challenges in high school and then see how college goes.
I agree. And I think it's also like a big thing that's like underrated is like just like that we're surrounded by so many serious people. Like, I came in, I didn't realize how many like smart people, like how important it would be to be surrounded by so many smart people. Like, it has definitely accelerated. It has definitely made me, like, pushed me to work harder being around people who are so smart. And like, it is also just like expanded my learning. Like, I know so much more because of the people I'm with.
People say, like, even when I was applying to Harvard-Westlake, I remember like something that they had to disclaim to all the applicants was just how like competitive of an environment it is. Personally, I haven't seen where it's like people are like competing for the A's. If anything, it's more so you're motivating one another to get A's or things like that. And I think that I like the spirit, honestly. And I think that part of the academics here, it's like trauma bonding in a way. Like,
yeah,
talking, like getting out of a lecture, being like, what was that? Or like, oh my God, like I'm going to fail this test or whatever. I think that that brings you and your classmates closer, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd say I've seen way more people support others to help them get A's.
Yeah.
In the sense, like, if you're confused on something, people will help you rather than act in a competitive manner, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need the A, like only a certain amount of people can get the A, I need it, not you.
What's the hardest class you guys have taken?
AP Calc AB. It's just so hard for me. I don't understand it. Part of it is my history with math. Math has always been an easy subject for me. I've always been able to do like the bare minimum and get an A in math. But AP Calc is just a different level. I just don't see it like I used to see, like I used to seeing math. I think it's because of the online year in 11th grade. I got screwed over. Like, I was able to have notes with me for pre-calc, and apparently you need to know everything from pre-calc for Calc AB. So that screwed me, but that's definitely been the hardest class I've ever taken. I've had to work very hard to not even have an A in the class.
Calc is definitely really hard. For me, I think in ninth grade, I took bio honors, and like for the maturity and like the study habits that I had when I was in ninth grade, which were none, like bio honors is the equivalent of like a junior year honors class, and you're taking it in ninth grade, and it's so hard, and you've never taken anything like it before, and it literally consumed me, but it also like taught me how to study and how to like manage my time well. Definitely the hardest class I've taken. Not like material wise, because that would probably be Calc AB. I mean, I don't think physics is that hard, but definitely bio.
I feel like for me, the hardest, I've always been more, like, I've always excelled in humanities instead of STEM, personally. I feel like, honestly, chemistry was, like, really tough for me. Like, I think that the combo of math and science that was so involved in chemistry, especially certain units, was very, very difficult. And I wasn't able to admit to myself that I was struggling in the class until, like, second semester. So it took me a while to, like, actually get it. But I think that that made me realize that I don't want to be a chemist or pursue science in my future. So
I think science is not hard. I think math is hard.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know why, but chemistry was probably one of the easiest classes I've ever taken. I just understood everything so easily. I don't know why.
For me, it just clicked. For me, I feel like whenever I study, I can't just know one part of the unit and like get away with memorizing the rest. I need to understand every little aspect of it. And if I don't, then it messes with my head. And like,
yeah, me too.
It literally stops me from learning. And so chemistry, that was a really, really big issue for me. But like, I don't know. I'm not experiencing that in physics right now or anything. So I think it differs. Like bio was fine for me. So I don't know if it's that certain part of science or just the combination with math.
Okay. When is a good time to work alone and when is a good time to work in a group?
I do most of my work alone, I'd say. But like the thing is, when I work with a group, I often get very distracted. I have a hard time studying with a group, but I often go back to working with a group because I enjoy my time working with a group so much. I'd say if you're studying for a test, studying with other people for a test is good to a degree, but you need to do your own studying because if you study with other people, oftentimes you can shortcut stuff. But if you're studying alone, you'll like keep yourself honest on every single, or at least from my experience, I keep myself honest on every piece of material, and I don't really skip over stuff when I'm studying alone. And then I guess like for English, if I'm reading a book, I cannot read with another person there. Like I need to be alone for that. For math, like I need to like have music in and be alone. So honestly, like the only time I've ever really worked in a group is when I'm forced to, like a group project. That's the only time I'm really able to work in a group. Other than that, I'm very big on studying alone.
I agree. I can only study alone. I can't study in groups.
Yeah, I feel like studying in groups for me, it's just, it only benefits me if I'm the one who's teaching other people other concepts that they might not be familiar with.
Which is interesting too, because like, wouldn't you think you'd benefit more from like learning from another person? But like, I agree with that too. Like that's an interesting like thing that happens.
Yeah, I feel like when I do that, it helps. But, like, if I ever have classmates be like, oh, like, let's FaceTime the night before the test, I'm like, that's not going to help me at the end of the day because it turns into, like, just a talking session or something like that. And, like, I think that although I do enjoy group projects, it always turns into certain people doing more work than others and things like that. And I'm, like, happy to oblige and, like, do more work or things like that. But I just think at the end of the day, being alone in my own headspace with no one else to distract me is so much better for my studying.
Yeah, because, like, I just hate group projects because it's either, like, I'm doing all the work or I'm, like I don't want to do any and I make other people do it. Like, mm-hmm. it's one or the other. Like, it's really hard to find a happy middle ground.
Yeah, I agree.
With a group.
I agree.
I feel like also that takes me – you said you listen to music while you study for math. Is that the only subject or do you think you can listen to music while you study?
So, like, I think that I'm like in the majority here. I cannot listen to music when I'm reading something. Never. For like, so like English, no. Cannot. When I memorize stuff, no. Maybe I'll have like a beat, like lo-fi on. Mm-hmm. But like math, I can listen to like rap music or something. That works for me.
Yeah.
But like, I think math is like the main subject I listen to music with, because math is kind of like a thing where you need to get into a flow state, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And music helps me get into that flow state. That's where it's true. like a math, it's the weirdest thing. Sometimes when I like get into like a good flow, like I honestly enjoy doing the problems. Like it feels like fulfilling. That's when, but like I need music to get to that point for math.
Yeah.
For like a class like history where you're just reading stuff and like taking notes on that, can't listen to music. Maybe lo-fi, but that's it.
I agree. Math is really the only class I've ever listened to music. Like I can't even listen to people talking when I read. Like at the end of the day, I think like music is like fun to study to, but I use it as an incentive to study so that I can listen to music afterwards.
Do you guys listen to music when you write? That's different.
It depends. If I've already written like a thesis or something and I'm trying to write body paragraphs, sure I can, but like I don't know. If I'm like planning out an essay, no.
Yeah, like I listen to lo-fi when I write. That's like but I can't listen to rap when I write. Like yeah. The ideas just don't flow when I'm listening to rap like that.
Well, what are your like best tips to manage your time?
I think time management, for me personally, what has worked and that I've also like gotten my brother onto doing is I'm big on setting goals, and like short-term goals I think is really good. So like I almost every night that I have like a big homework schedule, I write out a schedule hour by hour of what I need to do. So I'll say, okay, I give myself a designated break from 3:30 to 4, do whatever I want. But then once the clock strikes 4, I need to put my phone away. I need to spend an hour studying for something on a certain page of a textbook or something like that. And so I think just being very specific with what you want to do so that when you achieve it, you give yourself an allotted break time. I think that that's really helpful. And just at the end of the day, setting goals, it feels very good to accomplish them. And I think the sooner you finish, the sooner you have free time, and telling yourself that is very beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really managed like figured this out because I'm really bad at managing my time. And I think the way that, like, I've managed to get the grades that I have is through, like, my willingness to, like, just put in the hours. But I do think I would have to put in less hours if I properly manage my time. Like, I do. Like, when I try to make hour-by-hour schedules, it's, like, the first hour and I'm already, like, 2 hours behind. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, too ambitious with it. And I, like, haven't been able to, like, strike a balance. Like, I'll tell myself I got a break from 3 to 4, and then it's, like, 6, and I still haven't put my computer away.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, like, follow myself. Like, I'm not very disciplined, but, like, when it comes to, like, I have to stay up until 3 in the morning studying for this, like, I'm willing to do it, which is, I think, not the best way to go about it, but it's just how I roll.
Yeah, I'm very similar. I have horrible time management skills, but I'm willing to, like, even pull all-nighters just to make sure I know stuff, because I'm kind of scared of, like, being unprepared for tests, especially in certain classes.
I'm not the type that can, like maneuver my way through. Like
I feel like for me, too, like, I don't know, every single homework assignment I do that I procrastinate, it ends up taking me way less time than I thought that it would take. And I think, like, doing it and having it take way less time than you thought that it would is a really rewarding feeling. And I think that, like, there was a month where I kept the sticky note on my laptop that said, the sooner you start, the sooner you finish. And that helped me so much. Like, I was like, oh my God.
I need
God.
To do that.
No, it's
I
so really helpful.
That's not true for me. The more time I give, like, the earlier I start, the more time I'm going to spend on things.
Yeah, that can also happen, too. But I think for me, like, I like doing homework. Like, I think getting task by task done and clicking the submit button on the hub is, like, really satisfying. You seem to disagree, but, like,
I do.
I'd rather do homework than study for a test, because I feel like that's something that can go on aimlessly for as long as you want, and I like just being done with something out of sight, out of mind. So it's harder with tests, I feel like, when I get down to it.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather do homework than study for tests, because I agree. I hate having that, like, not really knowing when to stop for a test, because, like, I'm, like, very scared of coming home and spending my whole entire afternoon just studying. Like, I really don't want to do that. So I end up wasting a lot of – I wouldn't say wasting, but I end up doing a lot of stuff before my homework.
Yeah.
Which does end up screwing me because I don't get as much sleep. But, like, I don't know if I would trade that. Like, I don't know if I could throw that away and just, like, start homework right when I get home and see where it takes me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even start right at home. But even if it's just, like, okay, I am going to go to silent study during a class mm-hmm. meeting period and do it, like, that has, like, helped me, like, honestly.
Yeah.
Wait a second. How do you guys, like, prevent procrastination?
Don't ask me that.
I don't. My procrastination issues are horrible. Yeah. Like, incredibly bad.
I procrastinate, like, I don't just stop doing work, but I procrastinate with other productive things. Like, I'll be like, okay, I don't want to do homework. I'm going to go play the piano. Like, or I'm going to work out. Working out is how I procrastinate. Like,
what is your guys' relationships with your teachers? Or, like, what do you, like, are you close with your teachers? Is it, like, strictly just class time? What's your kind of deal with teachers?
I've never had a relationship with a teacher that's gone past the classroom, really. My relationship with teachers mainly consists of, like, just school and just, like I leave a good impression on my teachers, of course. Like, I'm very respectful to them always. I try to, like lighten up to them, let them know, like I'm human, too. I'm not, like, just a robot in their class who just does all their work, you know?
But usually, like, it's the classes that I struggle the most that I befriend my teachers in. Like, I think just by going to their office hours consistently or, like, really telling them, being honest.
I don't know.
Like,
I find that I also am the closest with my English teachers because I feel English is a class where you discuss the most things that are related to your own personal life.
And I think that by doing that, they get a better sense of who you are. And I think that if you are to talk about an essay, it's going to get you way closer with the teacher than going over chemistry balancing equation problems, like things like that. And I think at the end of the day, it's definitely good to have relationships with your teachers because they're people who definitely have a really big impact on your life. And I don't think they want to just view students as people who just walk into their classroom once a day and then they just thank them and say bye at the end of the period. And I think
I think it really depends. Like, I'm big on, like, matching a teacher's energy. Like, I have a teacher this year who's very, like, they're an amazing, amazing teacher, but they're not really, like, they really care about the material. And, like, I respect that. So I think a lot of, like, our conversations and a lot of when I meet with them, it's just about school and asking them questions about whatever work I'm doing in that class and, like, really getting to know them based off the material that they teach.
Yeah.
What do you guys do after you get a disappointing grade?
Okay, so I used to get really sad. Like, when we were at the middle school, I used to get very, very sad. And I would, like, get very demoralized, like, the next week. But then I'd have to really grind for the next test. Now, I just kind of brush it off, to be honest.
I mean, I used to, like, get really distraught about getting bad grades, but I think that once you get a bad score back, there's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do about it, so there's no point in being upset about it. The only thing that that's going to do is hurt you for the next test. And so I think the best course of action after you get a disappointing grade is, one, meet with your teacher, find out exactly what you did wrong and how you can fix that for next time. And then, two, use that as, like, motivation to really study hard for your next one.
I think always a good rule of thumb is to always meet with your teacher after you take a test, whether it's good or bad. Just show some initiative. I think teachers really are impressed
every
by
time.
That.
Like, I really recommend this for all you people who are listening who are taking English. After every essay that your teacher writes, like, this is, like, a hack.
Okay.
Once you get an essay back from your teacher, write down, like, print your essay out. Do their edits, like, on your printed paper, and then write out each one of their comments on paper and respond directly to their question. So, like, if they write on your comment, like, this claim needs to be more specific, grab a separate sheet of paper, write down question number one, like, color-coded or something, and then write a response question to that. How would I make this more specific? Would this word make it more specific? Why do I need to make it more specific? Do that for every single one of their comments. I don't care how many there are. Go into meet with them, show them your paper, and ask them those questions. They find it. They literally eat it up. It's, like, the best thing ever. Like, they will love you after that, and they'll know that you really care. And it works. So that's my tip for you. How do you survive in a class with none of your friends in it? Historically, I never have classes with my friends. It's like I barely ever have classes with my friends. So, I mean, I think having classes with people who aren't your friend group is, like, a really fun way to make new friends.
Totally.
Agreed. 100%.
I think for me, like, my best friend and I have never had a class at Harvard Westlake together, and, like, look at us now. And so I think, like, find one or two people who you're, like, I guess the closest with in that class from the start, sit next to them, and, like, write notes together.
I think,
like, bonding with just a couple of people makes such a difference. And, like, even if it's people who you really don't want to talk to or you only will see in that class, it's fine. Like, I think just make friends. Like, the more the merrier is kind of my mindset that I have. So go for it. That's happened to me, I feel like, the most in science classes. Like, I never have my friends in science classes until this year. But that's what makes it fun. Like,
when I've had a few classes where I haven't had any friends, but what often happens is I find friends who are in, like, different periods.
Yeah.
And that kind of works for me, I guess. I can, like, still talk about the material with other people, which is always nice. But it's definitely a really cool experience to, like, meet new people. And it's also just, like, when, like, the first day when you walk in, you're always like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to do this a whole year. Like, there's no way, right? And then, like, a few, like a month in, you, like, it becomes one of your favorite classes because, like, I feel less distracted when I have no friends in my class.
True.
Which helps me engage in the material more, and which often leads to me getting a better grade and probably just a better experience in the class. It might not be as fun in class, but it's just a better experience in general for me.
How to cope with anxiety about college?
Okay, so my college experience wasn't as bad as it could possibly, like, it could have been worse for sure. So I will say, like, the anxiety that I got, like, wasn't as great as some other people's anxiety, most likely. You just have to, like, think, you have to worry about yourself. You can't let other people's, like, college experiences, like, interfere with how yours is going. That was because I was, like, at first when, like, people, like, got their results, I was, like, asking all my, like, some of my friends, I was like, oh, like, how'd it go? And then I realized, like, that doesn't do anything. Like, maybe it's cool to know, but, like, you're going to get the most out of the experience if you just focus on yourself rather than, like, letting anything else from other people get to you. And it ended up being, like, it ended up working out for me. And I just, like, trusted the process, kept going with it, and it'll all work out.
Like,
so
the whole college thing consumed me a lot in the months of, like, November and December, especially because I did not ED anywhere. I only EA'd places. And I think seeing people commit to places before I got even any results back was really, really scary. And there were some days where on the quad, it was everybody cheering because they got really good results. Whereas the literal next day, it was people really stressed because nobody got into a school. And so I think that honestly, partially made me feel a lot better on some of the days because I was like, okay, this is like an Ivy League school, for example, and one person got it. And I don't know, I think just like finding comfort in that and like knowing that you are not alone in whatever your case might be, you are not alone because there are people, even if they're not at Harvard Westlake, there are people in other cities, other states who are going through the exact same thing. And so I think that I originally let that really distract me from doing homework or in classes because I'd literally see people like talking about it. And that was really the only topic of conversation that I had with a lot of my classmates for several months in like early winter. So I think that kind of realizing that there's way more to people than what college they're applying to or going to, it just changes your mindset a lot for the better.
Yeah, I think for me at least, I think a lot of my life prior had kind of like been built around college. And I think I had like for like, I don't know, I started studying for the SAT like years before I was going to take it. And like when I was in seventh grade, I was already like planning out my like narrative and stuff like that. And so I think when it came to like 12th grade and actually writing these essays that I had built my whole life around, I had like a complete meltdown and I just wasn't able to do it. All the deans were like, start your essays during summer.
Yes.
Start your essays during summer. Finish your essays during summer.
Yes.
I waited until 2 weeks before my REA deadline.
Did the same thing and it was bad idea.
Yeah. I had to I skipped 2 weeks of school to write those darn essays.
I did the same thing.
I skipped 2 weeks of school to write my essays that I had postponed, procrastinated for so long. And it's just the oddest phenomenon because, like, I had spent my whole entire life, like, preparing to, like, get into college and to get into my first choice, which I ended up doing. But I think that's only because, like, I had done all that prior work. But, like, I just had this, like, complete meltdown because my whole life had, like, been built up to this moment of, like, me actually writing these essays. And I just, like, couldn't. Like, everything I would write, I'm like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think after I found out and after I was, like, accepted to, like, my ED choice, a lot of my anxiety switched from, like, getting in to, like, what would people think about me getting in. Because, I don't know, I just think that, like, everyone's kind of judgy when it comes to, like, colleges and, like everything you do after you get in or after you don't get in is, like, highly scrutinized. Like, no one is allowed to wear their sweatshirt for their school because it's obnoxious. Like, no one is allowed to do this. No one is allowed to do that. Some people post. Some people don't. Some people hate it when people post. Some people don't care, you know? Like, there are all these, like, de facto rules that just kind of, like, scared me. I'm like, I don't want to offend anyone, but I also, like, want to be proud of myself for getting into the school I wanted to get into. And, like, it's not like I did anything to make other people not get in. So I think that's, like, I had a lot of anxiety about that, about, like, what other people would think about me getting in or me not getting in or what other people's perceptions of me in terms of college would be.
I feel like for me, something that also contributed to my anxiety about it is just how, I guess, secretive people are about it. Like, people would literally not tell me where they applied. And I'm not one of those people who I'm, like, bothering people asking, oh my God, where are you applying? Like, tell me. Because it really doesn't bother me that much. Like, I'm not offended if people are applying in my same top choice school. Although I do know some people do get really offended by that and they view it as competition regardless of who the other applicant is. And I think that letting that consume you is really, really toxic for your mindset. And, like, I know that that happens almost every single year where people get really competitive. And I think that you're going to hear people talk, like you said, regardless of what happens if you get into a statistically good school or a statistically not as good school. People are going to talk about it. Like, the list of everybody's colleges is going to be published at the end of the year. Like, I think people put so much, like, pressure on themselves to just have a name that they're associated with as opposed to focusing on the efforts that got them there. And I think just, like, let yourself acknowledge how far you've come and don't let yourself be, like, defined by a word, whether it's admitted, deferred, or denied.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is going to sound cliche, but, like, it's so important. You just, like, have to be proud of yourself and you cannot worry about what other people think about what happens.
That's true.
Like, yeah. That was so important. I was, like, so uptight. I was like, oh, how are people going to think about me, like, getting deferred or getting rejected or getting into a certain place? Like, and then, like, after, like, my first deferral, I was like, why am I even worried about what other people think about, like, my college process? If they want to judge me for it, go ahead. I do not care. And as that has gone on, that has helped my anxiety, helped my mindset so much. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's, like, actually a very important thing, I'd say.
Just focus on the fact that if you got deferred, just be thankful in the fact that you were even considered and that they are still interested. If you got denied, just know that rejection is a redirection, as crazy as that is.
True.
And if you were accepted, then good for you. I'm very proud of you. And no matter what, you will do great things in the future. So,
facts.
Wise words from Ava.
Thanks. Wise words. Also, I never study in my bed. I must be seated at my desk, in my chair, but I try not to use technology, never listen to music, and, yeah, candle, I think, is the most important.
Yeah, I think also, I have to, like, not be in my bed. One, I agree with that. Two, like, sitting at a chair, but, like, I don't like uncomfortable chairs. Like, it has to be like,
support.
Yeah, no, it needs to be, like, a comfortable, like, cushioned chair. Otherwise, I just can't, I get uncomfortable. It has to be a chair and that I can sit in for, like, hours.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, I don't study for hours on end. I need to take breaks.
Like, I use a lot of technology when I do my homework, which is probably for worse because it often distracts me. But it's just what I do.
Also, nail out what is helpful. Like, some people swear by, like, using Quizlet as, like, flashcards to memorize. Personally, I hate that. I don't think any sort of flashcard helps me because I'm very understanding-based as opposed to memory-based. So I think find out what helps you, what doesn't. Like, if there's a certain type of notes or color coding or
organizing a certain way and also planning out a homework schedule. Like for me, I always, always use my English reading. I always do it last.
So me
I
too. Can
go, like, it's kind of my unwinding before bed is really what I do for English. Like, I go in bed and then I read my chapters. It's almost like it's for pleasure because I'm like, technically, it's not like hard work that I need to be doing. It's more just like a bedtime story. I think avoid doing things in one night.
Don't do things in one night. I always regret it and I always do it and it's just horrible. But yeah, don't do things in one night, especially 8-page research papers.
Yeah, we've all been there though, and it gets the best of us. But sometimes my most, like my best work is my last minute work. But don't live by that, listeners, okay? It will not help you in the long run.
Yeah, no, my best English writing is always at like 1 a.m., but it's not good that it's at 1 a.m., sadly. Like, I don't know, my ideas are just like flowing at 1 a.m.
Okay. So that is all for today. We hope you guys enjoyed listening. Next time, we will be talking about another fun topic, and we will see you then. Okay, bye on 1, 2, 3.
Bye.